Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Today on The Grave Talks, Unknown Elegy, a conversation with Brad Kennedy, Luke Pilgrim, and Ellis Treese. There's something strange stirring in the mountains of North Georgia, and it's not just folklore. Unknown Elegy is a chilling new docuseries from award-winning Sozo Bear Films, and it digs deep into the shadowy corners of Elegy, Georgia, where cryptids, spirits, and legends refuse to stay buried. Hosted, directed, and created by Brad Kennedy and Luke Pilgrim, alongside editor Ellis Treese, this series explores real local encounters with the unexplained. From tracking Bigfoot in dense Appalachian woods, to haunted homesteads, to terrifying tales of the elusive dogman. These aren't just campfire stories. This is the paranormal hiding in plain sight. What's really lurking in Elegy? Find out why this small town might be the South's best kept supernatural secret. Today on The Grave Talks, Brad Kennedy, Luke Pilgrim, and Ellis Treese discuss their docuseries, Unknown Elegy. Okay, so today I'm talking with Brad Kennedy, Luke Pilgrim, Ellis Treese. You're all with Sozo Bear Films.
That's right.
And y'all are based in Georgia, correct?
Yeah. We are.
Based in Dahlonega, Georgia.
Dahlonega, Georgia, which is crazy. We were just talking about the Ashley McBride song about Dahlonega, Georgia. Really kind of put you guys on the map.
Yep, that's right.
And it's a fantastic song, by the way. Tell me a little about Sozo Bear Films, because you guys are doing a docuseries, and it's paranormal, but that's not normally what you do. This is kind of branching out into something different for you, isn't it, Luke?
Yeah, so Sozo Bear is our film company, and you know we've been doing this now for I guess like
almost a decade.
Yeah, it's getting close to a decade. And Brad and I met in college, and we just started making short films together at that time. And pretty much as soon as we graduated, you know, we started at least trying to get clients, and before we know it, we were doing it full time. And Sozo Bear, it was because the name came from our cats. Like my wife and I had a cat named Sozo, but Brad had a cat named Bear. So that's how we came up with Sozo
Bear. Are you kidding me? I was wondering about that, but I would have never guessed that in a million years.
Oh, yeah.
Never. Now, Ellis, you are one of the editors there?
Yeah, so I came a little bit later to Sozo. I worked on and off with them in 2017, and then when 2019 came around, I was nearing the end of my college experience, and I was like, okay, I want an internship, kind of want to like land a job somewhere full time. So I reached out to Luke and Brad, seeing if there was any potential to do an internship with them, and then that rolled over into just a full-time gig. And so now I'm one of the head editors at Sozo Bear Films and the visual effects artist.
Brad, talk to me about kind of what you all have done historically, because this paranormal docuseries is a little different for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is kind of a big swing that we took last year. Since starting out, you know, we did a lot of promotional videos for small businesses. We did music videos. We did commercials. And we always
big
like
businesses too.
And some big businesses, yeah. And we've always considered ourselves like, I know, when Luke and I started the company, we said, if we are filmmakers, we're going to keep on making films. And storytelling is so important to what we do. So even every year we've created like a short film or so, or, you know, sometimes even more, just to keep those creative juices going. And really what led us to this project is we've done so many documentary style promotional videos. And it's more so like, let's say a business comes to us and the owner wants to talk about why they started their restaurant. And we interview the owner and in a short, you know, minute and a half, 2 minute video. You tell their story. They talk about what makes them passionate about, you know, the burgers they make and the atmosphere of their bar and all those things. And you just package that together into a documentary promotional video that serves as a way they can advertise for their business. Well, the other side, and something we've done recently, is kind of working with a lot of tourism boards and areas in Northeast Georgia, Dahlonega, where we're based out of, but also Ellijay, Georgia, right up the road from us. And we've done some advertisements, I guess, more so like commercials where we get actors and they're going around visiting different locations and tourism spots, restaurants, lodging options that they can do in those areas. And so we started working with Pick Ellijay, which is the tourism wing of Ellijay, Georgia, Gilmer County, I think last year. And one thing they wanted to do at the beginning was do that style, you know, the very simple, get some actors, you know, playing the family, and they're going to go visit the farm, go downtown to eat some food and stay at the cabin, that type of commercial video. But they also wanted to pursue something a little more, what they called offbeat. And that ended up turning into a commercial called The Offbeat Traveler. And the big thing with Ellijay is that they have a Bigfoot museum. So we worked with them about creating this narrative of a guy who is the offbeat traveler, you know, this YouTube host type guy that wants to advertise, you know, hey, I'm going to find Bigfoot in Ellijay. And he hires a guide and he goes out and searches for him. And ended up being like a really funny way of advertising all the ways that Gilmer County and Ellijay, Georgia ties in with Bigfoot. You know, there's a restaurant downtown that they have an ice cream called Bigfoot Tracks, and they have a little Bigfoot cookie in it. There's an antique store that has a giant Bigfoot sign. There is obviously the Bigfoot Museum where the commercial kind of ends up there. But
yeah, it's, just, it's like in the fabric of the
in the fabric. But all of this is a long way of getting to, after that came out and it was a big success for them, they kind of started throwing out these ideas of, well, what if we make more of these?
Yeah, they wanted to like do a follow-up on that, basically. And it was good. That one was real tongue-in-cheek. You know, we were kind of making like a funny video, and it was all fictional and a fictional character. Mm-hmm. And when they wanted us to like follow that up, Brad and I were talking about it, and I was like, what if we maybe like tried something a little more in earnest, you know, like like something that's like a docu-series or something. And ultimately we pitched this idea to them and they loved it. So that was super cool, because this would afford us the ability to be able to really make a docu-series like this. And we've always wanted to make something documentary style.
And we kind of know the fabric of somewhat documentary style filmmaking, but this was sort of going into a whole different ball game, you know, different world of the paranormal that, you know, obviously we've never made a documentary about that or even a promotional ad. And then,
but I would say that we have made videos that are adjacent to the paranormal, just from our TikTok series that we had started early on.
That's a good point.
We were playing around with different aspects of the paranormal and what can we kind of do to expand our visual effects knowledge and just kind of make stuff that's outside the box, that's kind of fun for the audience to see, and then something fun for us to just explore, because we're lovers of sci-fi.
Totally. And I think that's a good point to what Ellis said, and kind of to go back and piggybacking off of what Luke said about making something in earnest. We kind of, this project of this docu-series for the paranormal and Ellijay, we call it, you know, Unknown Ellijay. It all circles around stuff that we've kind of explored and played in a little bit. You know, the documentary style filmmaking, the, you know, tourism style of, okay, we're going to advertise places to eat, places to visit, you know, the cool amenities of this town. And then also the paranormal side that, you know, all those videos, like Ellis mentioned, are these short TikToks where, you know, we get comments all the time like probably daily from people about a Bigfoot video that really all it was is testing out some visual effects to see can we do it, but people are telling us it's fake, you know, and we obviously know it's fake, but this was more like, okay, let's do it and, you know, respect this community and really dive into what makes this community of the paranormal and cryptids really tick and what makes people interested in, you know, all those things, and tie that in with what you can do in that world in LJ, Georgia.
So that explains why LJ, because I was wondering, yeah, why is this whole thing called Unknown LJ? Because of all the towns you could pick, this is a little bitty town. But I also love the idea of highlighting some more unusual sides, because yeah, you could do the cute little come to town and look at this cute hotel and this, this wonderful little restaurant. That's awesome. But that Bigfoot Museum, I would go there. Mm-hmm. I really would.
And I would say, despite like this town being a small town, it is jam packed with like the paranormal. I mean, when we were going out and filming these episodes, we met so many people and interviewed a ton of people that have like firsthand experiences with all of these paranormal entities. So it's definitely a place where something's going on.
The whole thing about like being a small town or whatever, every small town has these ghost stories or these, you know, maybe cryptid encounters or whatever it might be. So I think that's kind of like, that's what I think maybe is our hope for this, is that we can highlight those stories and you know, let those people have a voice in these small towns.
You know? Oh, yeah, totally.
Where it may not be known as like a paranormal hotspot, but it's happening in all, you know, all kinds of places like that. So that, like, you know, I know you'd asked this earlier, but that's, I think that's what we hope we can do, is this one's Unknown LJ, but we hope we can do Unknown wherever, insert small town name.
I love
here,
that idea. Know? And I'm going to start with Brad.
Okay.
Just because, since you're doing a paranormal docuseries, how did you feel about the paranormal before? Are skeptical, believer, somewhere in between, had experiences?
Probably fell more on the skeptical side, if I had to be honest. It, you know, I love exploring that side of, like, you know, the paranormal as a concept, and, you know, for filmmaking or just storytelling. But, you know, personally, I think I was way more on the skeptical side.
So now, after doing some episodes, do you still go skeptical, or are you kind of leaning like, these people might be onto something?
I think it's one of those where, I mean, it's definitely moved me a little bit. I might still kind of be more on the skeptical side, but eventually you start talking to so many people and you go, not everyone's making it up, right? Like, all these people would mention this stuff about Bigfoot, and you're just going, okay, like, there are some connections there. So you can start seeing, it's not like they all went into a meeting and decided, okay, we're going to tell this documentary crew, you know, the same story. It's there's some similarities that pop up that just make you go, okay, it's not as black or white as maybe I thought it was.
Luke, what do you think? Because I know in, maybe it was the first episode or the trailer, I don't remember, you have a family friend who's been in your life forever, a guy named Vic. And you said that he introduced you to the paranormal. So was that kind of a concept that Vic brought about when you were a kid and you were like, interesting?
Yeah, for sure. I know Vic has definitely been talking to me about this kind of stuff since I was a kid. I don't know if that's where I first heard about it or not. I mean, yeah, like, I've always been into the, from like a pop culture stand viewpoint, I guess, like all the, you know, movies and things like that. I've always loved that type of thing, and where it comes to paranormal or sci-fi or whatever it might be. But I would probably be, I'm probably the true believer of the group, I guess. So I'm like probably more into it. And I do listen to a lot of paranormal podcasts and things like that. So, and I think too, that's probably why I was the one pushing originally to do this like docuseries about it. It's something that I am interested in. And I'd say, like, we definitely talk to a lot of interesting people with interesting stories. I think ultimately to us, it's like the story is the is what we're here to tell, you know, whether it's true or not. Like, I'm not here to judge that, but like, we just want to tell the story that people are, these folks have told us. And some of them didn't even make it into the doc. Like, some of the emails we received were harrowing, honestly.
There was
some pretty spooky stuff in there, and even like demonic kind of scary stuff. So some of that stuff didn't even make it into the series, but it also it made you think a little bit more, like, maybe there's some credence to this stuff that people are saying.
And that was the tough thing with the project too, was with it being tied to and sort of with this working relationship with a tourism department of a chamber of commerce, you're kind of having to focus it in those borders. And what was really heartbreaking was some of the awesome stories we would get from people that were just right outside of the county line.
Yeah.
And you're man, like, if we can make this work, it would be excellent. But, you know, maybe for the next project.
Yeah.
Ellis, what do you think about it?
I got to be honest, I'm probably a mixed bag. I have a lot of early childhood experiences, like somewhat with the paranormal in terms of spirits, ghosts, stuff like that. But when it comes to actual cryptids like Bigfoot, like, you know, Dogman, stuff like that, I've definitely been more skeptic with just them. However, after I heard all of these stories, everyone just seemed so genuine when they were kind of telling us what exactly happened to them. They would have stories where the encounters matched up in the same area of LJ. And there was just small bits and pieces like that that has kind of pushed me more onto the believer side than I was before.
The cryptids and Bigfoot, my thinking with that is I do not have an experience with it. So do I believe in it? I don't know. But where you all live, there's a lot of wooded areas, foresty areas. I'm in Kansas. It's not like that here. But supposedly, even in Kansas, we have our own cryptids. But I was recently in Oregon, and I'm looking at, we're just driving and driving, and I'm looking at these mountains with all these trees, and I'm like, how could there not be something hiding in there? You know, there's so much space that if you don't want to be found, it would be pretty easy.
Yeah, especially like all the national forest land stuff like that. That's, people don't quite realize how large that is.
Yeah, gigantic. And that's what we were learning with this project, was there is so much national forest in Gilmer County, LJ, Georgia, that, you know, the member of the chamber that we worked with closely, Caitlin Neal, she's very much into this world, and she was a wealth of knowledge kind of in that community of how it worked, you know, and what people knew, but also just of LJ history, things like that. And she said that someone had mentioned to her that with that national forest, how dense it is, there are probably animals in there who had never seen a human in their entire lifetime.
That's crazy.
And it just makes you think, well, yeah, of course, maybe a Bigfoot could be hiding out there.
Right.
You know, like you said, in Oregon, it's just so dense. There's just, what are the odds, you know?
Yeah, you could easily hide, I would think. And I would also think working with them would help. They could help you get to locals who will open up. I would think in a town that size, because I think I read it was like 2,000-ish people, so not a big town at all. But people like you coming in to do a documentary series, they're like, yeah, whatever, we're not talking to those guys. But they can help you get these stories from people.
Yeah, I was going to say, you show up looking like us, then get out of here, man.
Especially, you got a camera on there.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Like Brad said, Caitlin, who was, you know, kind of the executive producer of this thing, she was able to connect us with people and find those folks who are not, because a lot of people definitely have had experiences but don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And if they do want to talk about it, they don't want to talk about it on camera. It's tough to find people. And even for us, even with the help of the chamber and everything, it was still difficult to find those stories or those people who are willing to talk about it. And then some people, if they're like overly willing to talk about it, you almost question about what their motives are. So it's like kind of, towing that line.
There's like a bully mentality. Just if you're like super into the cryptid world and you're a true believer, you can't go around telling anyone you know, because you're going to be discredited, made fun of. Mm-hmm. People are going to think you're just like full of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that people listening to this show, myself included, so many of us have had paranormal experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem talking about it, but I've talked about it to people before who give me that look like I'm absolutely crazy. And I'm like, I don't care if you don't believe me.
Yeah,
it's not my job to get you to believe me. But if you've never had the experience, if you've never had a paranormal experience, how can you believe in it? If you've never had a Bigfoot experience, how can you believe in it? Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened to you. Now, how many episodes do you even know yet that you'll be releasing about Unknown LJ?
So we've done 3 so far, and they'll be coming out in July. So, every Saturday starting July 12th, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the 3 that we, budgeted for, produced, and we, like Luke mentioned, we're hoping that it expands, either more in LJ. I mean, there's always more stories you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it could be any other small town, in the Southeast, Appalachia, the U.S., doesn't matter.
Yeah. The first 3 episodes, I think the ones we sent you, the first one is Bigfoot. The second one is ghost stories. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of cool ghost stories as well. And then the 3rd episode, it started out kind of exploring the cemeteries in LJ, and it ended up being mostly about Dog Man. So that's another kind of cryptid episode.
Oh. That'll be interesting, because mm-hmm. I watched the first 2. Very well done. And I want to talk about the Bigfoot. I want to talk about both of them, but let's talk about the Tracking Bigfoot episode first. Because what I found interesting is you do talk to the guy who has the museum.
Mm-hmm.
What's his story? Does he have experience seeing a Bigfoot? And is that what got him to do the museum?
Yeah, Ellis, you want to answer that? I know you've went through a lot of his footage.
Yeah, he, early on in life, he's had multiple Bigfoot experiences. I want to say he came from Florida originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's done a lot of night-like tracking Bigfoot expeditions, and he's caught in some stuff on thermal cam, stuff like that. And he's gone out, and he says in the interview, but it's not in the episode, that he has so much evidence for Bigfoot, but he can't display all of that evidence because people will either, call him fake, a fraud, like he just can't put it out because people aren't willing to accept that because they just don't have an open mind for it.
And it's like a space issue. He said mm-hmm. he could fill up like a whole warehouse with stuff. Like, so I think he's looking to expand it, and he's, I think stuff like extraterrestrial type stuff, all kinds mm-hmm, of things. Yeah. He has other things that he's going to put more in that museum.
And he has so many people come in with their own stories. That's how we ended up connecting with Justin, I believe, who's the person we interview later in the episode. He originally came to David with his story, and David's the one who got us in contact with him. But he's had so many people come to the Bigfoot expedition shop to kind of feel him out. They're like, okay, is this guy like full of it or whatever? And then when they kind of see the quality of the museum, they start to open up about their own experiences mm-hmm. with him.
I think you need a safe place, especially if you're going to talk about something like that, because people do get judgy when you start talking mm-hmm. about cryptids and Bigfoots and Sasquatch and mm-hmm. Momo Monster and stuff. Because they're like, you are so crazy. Like, the same people might believe in an apparition, but not that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. And the crazy thing, too, is I feel like Bigfoot, over the last, like, maybe 10 years or so, has really changed culturally, where I think it used to be way more hush-hush, Like, everyone kind of has a ghost story or knows someone who might have a ghost story, but Bigfoot sightings and, anything of that world, people are a little bit more skeptical of. And then eventually I feel like it really became this pop culture phenomenon, especially here in the South. I feel like you could throw a rock and hit a Bigfoot sticker, a sign, a t-shirt, something. You know, all of these small towns have, you know, something Bigfoot related. And to David's case, yeah, he's very passionate about it, but then people like Ellis mentioned can come in skeptical, thinking, oh, he's just in it to make a quick buck like everyone else, mm-hmm. who, you know, slap Bigfoot and his outline on a sticker or a t-shirt. You know, it's more of like, oh, cool, Bigfoot, it's the woods of North Georgia, let's just make it a thing. But you actually get there and you can tell David and his team, they are very much about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And they're coming from it more of like, we want to share all this information to others instead of, oh, we just want to parade Bigfoot around like it's some sort of, you know, mascot.
Not like a marketing tactic to like, yeah, get a, you yeah. know, have a cash grab and make money. It's like they're invested yeah. in yeah. Bigfoot.
Yeah, they're very genuine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Was it Justin who was in the episode at the cabin talking about his dog? Mm-hmm. They went outside. Was that Justin?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I thought that was interesting because I wanted to bring him up because he brought up something I'd never heard before. And maybe you guys putting this together have heard other people talk about it. That he was talking about, he went outside with his dog. His dog saw something, got really scared, ran back inside, not like the dog. And I'm always like, pay attention to how the animals react to things because mm-hmm. I think that really, they have a different sense than we do and yep. pay attention to them. So then he said it was almost like a mind thing where yeah. it kind of got in his head. And I hadn't heard that before. I thought yeah, that was interesting.
That's definitely a thing like in the Bigfoot, you know, in the stories you hear about Bigfoot is that there's some sort of telepathic, you know, connection or something that people will feel something pressing into their mind, or it's like a fear or a some type of feeling like that where they just don't know why all of a sudden they feel this panic and fear. I don't know if what it is or if it's a telepathic thing or if it's like just some sort of primal thing that we feel in the presence of something paranormal like that.
Well, what was so interesting about that story too is once he felt this, and I had never heard of it either, and I want to say later on that there were like theories that it was a almost like defense mechanism or something against like Bigfoot, like you know, to keep you away from him. But when he was telling his story and like he felt this thing press into his head, he started scrolling on like Facebook, you know, later on, it was maybe a week later, and he just stumbled across a video and it was like, you know, things that you're gonna hear or like feel or see if you have an encounter with Bigfoot. He played it and he heard the sounds that he had heard in the woods that day, and he was like, that's crazy. So he called the dude up and got in contact with him because they were actually old friends, like they used to work together. And so he called him up and was like, dude, I just saw your video, I just had this experience, I heard the exact sounds that you posted. And the dude was like, okay, well, did you feel anything like press into your mind? And up until that point, he hadn't told anyone about that. So there was just this weird synchronicity of that moment that makes it just gives it more credibility.
That is interesting to me. How did you encounter the couple? I have never heard of this either, but they have a Squatch. It was Squatch Fishing Outfitters.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. So I'm like, it's one thing to take a group out deer hunting or whatever it is that yeah. you do. They take groups yeah. out looking for Sasquatch, Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another connection with David at the Expedition Bigfoot, the museum. He basically connected us with a lot of people, and, mm-hmm. and they were some of the folks that he was like, you know, they're going to have some good stories. Again, people share their stories with them. They had their own encounters as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I called Scott up one day, and he's Scott and Sheila Granger is their names. And I talked to him for a while. And a lot of this process has been like sort of just feeling people out and seeing what they're like on the phone and all that before we actually go all the way out there mm-hmm. and try to film some, or go out into the woods with these strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because so, are we searching Sasquatch or are they serial killers? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, I know where Sasquatch is. Come on back, get in this van with me. But I talked to him on the phone though. I could tell he was a genuine dude, and they're cool people. And so you know, what they do is pretty unique, I think. So I mean, I think it's a unique experience if anyone is looking to do that. Like, you can go and go out for the weekend. They basically like, you know, all the food, all that stuff is like part of it. You know, they feed you. It's like a whole experience. And then there's spots that they know to be, you know, like Bigfoot hot spots. Mm-hmm. And so they'll take you to those places, and they've got thermals. They've got, you know, all kinds of different things as far as like how to actually see these creatures. But they say they've had several sightings, yeah. And some of them were daytime sightings even, which means like with the naked eye, they saw something. So,
and you guys went out with them, which looked to be like a really horrible night to go Sasquatch. It was raining. You guys are wearing coats. I'm like, it looks like it's chilly on top of the rain.
Oh, yeah.
It was freezing.
It was like 30 degrees outside.
Oh, my God.
It was like early February.
Yeah, it was very cold.
Super cold.
And the worst time to try to like listen. I mean, any hunter would tell you, what are you going to hear out here in the pouring rain? Nothing. You're supposed to be listening for like a twig snap. You can't even hear each other talk hardly. So unfortunately, we were there. We were like, we got to go out and film something. So we kind of just did our best. And we figured this sort of at least shows kind of what they do.
Yeah, it was a cool texture, at least for like filming, and it made it feel like way more of us just going out into nature. But yeah, in a perfect world, and Scott and Sheila both told us this right as we were about to film, you know, you wouldn't be out here in the rain. They wouldn't take people out.
No.
Because part of the experience is you're doing these tree knocks, and like Luke mentioned, you can't hear anything or what something responds back if it's raining. You know, you can barely hear what's going on around, you know, a few feet from you, let alone, you know, out in the woods.
What was the tree knocking all about? Does the Bigfoot respond to that in some way?
Yeah, they kind of mimic things like that. Sometimes, you know, people claim to hear tree knocks on there. I mean, I guess what's tough is that could be maybe anything you're hearing, like a woodpecker or something. But people claim like that they'll you know, you'll do tree knocks and you'll hear those things, you know, mimicked back to you. And supposedly, yeah, the Bigfoots can mimic a lot of stuff, like the sounds, like an owl sound, or people will claim to hear babies crying in the woods, and a lot of times that's attributed to Bigfoot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
It's very scary.
And I think that's, like, the crazy thing is going into this project, like, all the questions that you're asking really match how I felt, where I'm like, wait, it could, you know, get into your brain, or it mimics the cry of a baby. You just are like, I thought it was just some giant hairy ape like creature walking around the woods. And it is, but you know, there's so much more layers to it than, you know, that I think was a super interesting aspect to it, that, you know, you just, I didn't know that there was so much more to it than just it being a creature out in the woods.
Because it does kind of cross into the paranormal then, if it's doing weird mimicking sounds, maybe it just mimics like a bird, parrots or something. Maybe it's kind of got that ability.
Yeah, because there's the two camps, you know, in the Bigfoot world. There's sort of the more grounded flesh and blood Bigfoot theories, and then there's the more supernatural, paranormal,
like interdimensional.
Interdimensional. That stuff is like Bigfoot's, you know, coming through a portal. Bigfoot is like kind of connected with the grays, like the alien grays, stuff like that. There's like often those things are reported together. People will see some lights in the sky, and then there's a Bigfoot sighting in that same area, stuff like that. So I don't know. The two camps often are at odds because, you know, I think the flesh and blood folks, they wanted to be taken more seriously in that regard, but and they think of it more as like a ancient hominid or whatever, you know, ancient creature or something that's just still here. Whereas I think the interdimensional kind of side of the argument, it's a lot more open to the, you know, Bigfoot being paranormal.
Thank you. And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Brad Kennedy, Luke Pilgrim, and Ellis Treese about their docuseries, Unknown Elegy. Get more information on their website, SozoBearFilms.com, and watch the series on their YouTube channel. Just search Sozo Bear Films. You can also find both links in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. And you can also get a patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.